Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. At the core of that war these days, of course, is something that has eluded altogether too many of us in terms of really understanding its nature and the extent to which it must be confronted rather better than we've done to date. Our guest in this very special edition of Secure Freedom Radio is going to help me explore Islamic totalitarianism, the term he is using as part of a new book on the subject entitled Failing to Confront Islamic Totalitarianism, From George W. Bush to Barack Obama and Beyond. He is Elan Jurno. His co-author of that book is Ankar Gatte. He is also the editor of another terrific book entitled Winning the Unwinnable War, America's Self-Crippled Response to Islamic Totalitarianism. Elan is a fellow and director of policy research at the Ayn Rand Institute. You can find his writings in all the right places, notably Middle East Quarterly, The Federalist, FoxNews.com, Foreign Policy, and on and on. We're delighted to welcome back and thank him for giving us a full hour of his time to talk about these and related issues in depth. Elan, thank you. Good to have you back.
It's great to be with you. Thanks.
Well, let me start at the beginning, I guess. Elan, you've brought forward this concept that what we're up against is Islamic totalitarianism. Others have described it alternately as, terrorism or violent extremism or some jihadism. Give us your working definition of Islamic totalitarianism and why you think that term is most apt.
I regard the enemy as defined by its ultimate goals, not by its means. And I think that's the way to approach any enemy, and that's how we approached it in the past. If you think about World War II, we didn't call the Japanese kamikazeists, and we didn't call the Nazis U-boatists or whatever it was their favorite tactic was. We called them by the ideology that animated their pursuit of a certain goal, and the goal was at the core of that ideology. With Islamic totalitarianism, I think that name is apt, and there might be a better name, but this one captures, I think, the essence of the movement, because what they are seeking is to reshape society wherever they can exert power and authority. And they have told us many times, and quite openly, which is part of the scandal of how we haven't really understood them, that what they want is a world that is in total shaped by their interpretation of Islamic religious law, Sharia. And what's significant here is that it spans different interpretations. So it's both Shia and Sunni sects of it there you can find, and it comes from different countries, and there are different groups, and there are factions, and they fight against each other. And I mention that because it's important to not be drawn into, well, Al-Qaeda and ISIS hate each other. Al-Qaeda disowned ISIS, so that there's clearly not one movement. There's lots of splinter groups. That's not the way to look at it. The way to look at it is to zoom out and see what is the common goal, even if certain factions and certain leaders fight each other, because that's typical to any ideological movement. You can find it among the communist movement. So I think Islamic totalitarianism is a key way to capture that.
Let me ask you what you would describe as the goals of Islamic totalitarianism.
Sure. So, good examples of what it looks like are the Taliban regime pre-2001, ISIS today, Iran today, Saudi Arabia today. Now, a lot of people would balk at that because they'll say, wait. You can go to Iran and be a tourist and look around, and that's great. But you would never go to pre-2001 Afghanistan. But essentially, they differ only in certain degrees. Now, what do they have in common? It's a society where the law is defined by religious adherence to their interpretation of Sharia. And that means that in every particular, at least this is what the state tries to do, is to enforce specific detailed laws about how you live your life, whom you may marry, what you may do in your marriage, how you can earn money and what kind of work you can't do. You can't lend out money unless it's according to certain religious doctrines. You can't not pray five times a day. You can't avoid fasting at Ramadan, or you will be punished by people enforcing the law. They have morality police. So it's a way of having a kind of moral view of the world that is enforced politically as an all-consuming system. And it is one more thing to mention, if we're just going to give kind of a snapshot, is that this is inherently an expansionist or imperialist doctrine. In other words, it seeks to expand the realm under its authority by conquest. And that doesn't always mean war, but it means trying to grab more people and subjugate them. So it's inherently an oppressive system.
Let me just drill down on some of this, because you've given us so much food for thought. There are those who say Sharia is only partially, really, about religious practice, and that the vast majority of it involves, well, the kinds of things you've just talked about, governance of all aspects of life. I kind of think of it as basically being about power, whether it's, you know, within your family unit or with your neighbors or with your business associates or with, you know, the various rulers, ultimately, you know, governing the world, really. Is that how you see it? And if so, does that sort of contribute to the confusion about what it is we're up against? Because, as recently as last night in the debate between the vice presidential candidates, the proposition kept cropping up that this is all really about a religion.
I think it's rooted in the religion without question. So I think every jihadist group and every jihadist professes to be a Muslim, but it's certainly not all Muslims. And I think it needs to be said that not all Muslims are our enemies. That's far from the truth. But I think it's critical to see that the nature of the problem is this is a movement that seeks obedience by force, and obedience as in bowing to authority and politically. And it's also a movement that stems from a culture that has had no meaningful separation of religion from state, from temporal power. And so the doctrines are wedded so that it's a comprehensive way of life that doesn't separate what politics looks like from what religion is. It's one and the same. They roll together. So if you're a good person, you live under a good government, and a good government is one defined by Sharia. And that means obedience to Allah and obedience to his temporal representatives. And that's both a historical fact of the kind of societies that have flourished under this kind of regime. And it's a fact that in many respects, as I understand the doctrines, they call for that kind of unity. Why separate out government from religion? Why separate out morality from politics? So there's definitely an integration between them, which doesn't deny the fact that there are people who are faithful Muslims and who are peaceful and who don't seek a society that is like that. Now, there's questions that for scholars of Islam to debate about what does that really mean, and what kind of interpretation is that? A mainstream interpretation? Is that a kind of reform perspective? Who is actually being more true to the doctrine? But that's a scholarly exegetical kind of debate that doesn't really concern us if we're trying to understand the nature of the enemy, because the enemy is the core of the problem. And what we do understand about them is that it's rooted in this religion that takes religion and politics to be one, and they seek our subjugation and death.
Very explicitly, as you say, Alain Journeau, this is not something that is concealed from us or that is hard to ascertain based upon the writings and the speeches, to say nothing of the behavior of many of those who are at the leading edge of this enemy phalanx. Ilan Giorno is our guest for this full hour of conversation about Islamic totalitarianism and our failure to confront it. We will talk more with Ilan about the various, interpretations and what their implications are for us with regard to Sharia. Right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.